Bible says that Jesus triumphed over him, stripped him of his authority, yet Christians think he has this great power, which he never had. He never had any great power in the Garden of Eden except the power to deceive. So understanding righteousness is a key to living victorious in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be an example of a victorious life over Satan, over sin, and over sickness, and over all the works of the enemy. Romans 4:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." It's not religion. He's talking about religious ceremonies. It isn't religious ceremonies. In fact, the Jews thought that all those offerings and things was great, and God said, "I don't even like it. I take no pleasure in that stuff." For the kingdom of God is not stuff. It's not rituals. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You ever notice how people who think they have to do religious ceremonies, they don't have any peace if they haven't done them?
Amen.
You know, many of the promises of God are directly stated as being for the righteous. Especially in the book of Psalms, you know, David was looking forward. David had a revelation of what God was going to do. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, "For the Lord will bless the righteous." Well, if there's none righteous, no, not one, you might as well cross that out. It's like the little girl that came to church one day, and all she had was the covers of her Bible. And the pastor said, "Look at that. You know, your Bible's falling out of the cover." She said, "No, no, no, no." She said, "Every time I come to church and you tell me something's not for us today, I just tear those pages out." She said, "All I got left's the covers. I expect you'll take it today." No, the Lord will bless the righteous. Who is that? That's us. How's he going to bless us? With favor. "And you will compass him as with a shield." Psalm 34, 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Psalm 34, 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Hallelujah. But if you think those don't apply to you, then what? They don't apply to you, because you have to apply them. Psalm 34, 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." That's based on verse 17. You got to ask. Romans 5, 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace." Hallelujah. You can receive an abundance of grace. And of the gift of right. You can't receive an abundance of righteousness. Receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's given one time. When you were born again, that's it. You were righteous. What's going to happen? Shall reign in life. Shall reign in life. What are you going to reign? Reign over Satan, reign over sickness, reign over all the works of the enemy. Now, Jesus didn't reign over people, but he reigned over the enemy. Psalm 35, 24. "Judge me, O Lord, according to your righteousness." Hallelujah, he did. Psalm 37, 29. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Psalm 37, 39. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." These are great and precious promises. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. But if you don't know you're righteous, well, then you don't qualify for these. But you do qualify for these. The devil doesn't want you to know you qualify for these. And religion has been on the wrong side of the truth. Psalm 92, 12. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Amen. That's promises for you. Isaiah 32, 17. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Isaiah 54:17, here's a wonderful scripture. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's for us. That's for us. Our righteousness is of him. Isaiah 59:17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and on his head a helmet of salvation, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Isaiah 61:13, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. See, we've come not to the Mount Zion that can be touched, but to the heavenly Mount Zion, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Do you think that what's going on in so many churches today is bringing glory to God? They're magnifying men above God. But we are to be called trees, not tumbleweed. Amen. See, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We're not to be tumbleweed. We're to be trees planted by the rivers of water. What for? That he might be glorified. We are here to glorify him. And unless we know we're the righteousness of God in Christ, we'll be glorifying our religion. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Amen. Unless we know we're righteous, we'll never reign in life. When we know that we're righteous, we put on that new man and begin to walk in the newness of life, then we walk in the light of the glory of God. I remember in the Army, I spent a long time private first class, because they don't promote you in the hospital. And when I got out of the hospital, I was still private first class. You got to be first class. You can't go to war unless you're first class. Before you go to war, they make private first class. And when I got out of the hospital, and they quickly promoted me to an E4 specialist fourth class, first sergeant said to me, he said, why are you in the Army? I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't do nothing. I had a duty limitations. He said, can you type? In just disgust. I said, yes, I can type. And you know, it was just a miracle that I could type, because my dad didn't believe in taking typing classes. But I dropped out of a class in high school, because in my stubbornness, I was mad at the teacher, and when he'd hand out a test, I'd just write my name on it, and that's all. And so at the semester, I'm out of there, and I'm in typing. My dad would have never let me take typing, but that's the only thing I could get into, you know, in semester. Because my mother was a typing teacher. If you want to learn to type, she'll teach you. And I didn't want to learn to type. You know, that's for girls. But you know, God had worked that out. I could type. I said, yeah, I can type. And so I became the supply clerk. And after a while, a couple of weeks, and I mean, you talk about lazy. That supply sergeant was so lazy. One fellow said to him, he said, you know, you're so lazy, your fingers are going to grow together. And he was lazy. I did all the, I mean, they didn't even sweep the floor. And I'd get up early, an hour early, to come in there before he got there and clean the place up. And one day he said to me, I got everything caught up, and he said, you know, he said, I was just about to get rid of you, he said, because you work too hard. He said, but instead I'm going to get you promoted to sergeant, and I'm not coming in anymore. So I quickly got promoted to sergeant. I'm talking about putting on the new man, and I'll tell you, the day I put on those sergeant stripes, whoo, did I act different. I was a new man. I mean, I wasn't a private or a spec four anymore. See, when you find out who you are, you'll act different. You won't let sickness dominate you. You won't let sin dominate you. You won't let Satan dominate you. Amen? Here's an interesting scripture. Psalm 1 verse 5 says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous." So if you're just a sinner saved by grace, sit down. Amen? Because you can't stand up in the congregation of the righteous. But we aren't sinners saved by grace. God created man, and he expected us to have fellowship with him, like he did with Adam in the Garden of Eden. If you remember, when Adam broke that fellowship by his sin, God was quick to make a way of restoration. So when we break fellowship with God through our sin, all we got to do is confess it. And he's just and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to restore fellowship. Jesus came with the great revelation of our Father. You know, there's a vast difference between God and Father. Amen? Father denotes love, caring, provision, fellowship. God created a family in the Garden of Eden.